Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live and local, this is Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
Good Saturday afternoon and welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Brandon Santiago, it's B Santiago, that is his Twitter, and yours truly, Big Daddy Victor Zaragoza. You can follow me at Big Daddy Z Sports, and we'll be glad to show you the love right back. Speaking of love, the Golden State Warriors are back in action tomorrow morning, and yes, I'm saying this correctly. Warrior coverage starts at 7:30 a.m.
Goodness gracious.
7:30. I don't even wake up that early. Damon Bruce and Kerry Keaton will have all your Warrior coverage leading up to tip-off. And then, of course, the Warriors wrap-up with Matt Steinmetz after the game. All right here at 95.7 The Game and 957thegame.com as well. And now we have the privilege of going all the way to the East Coast. The Orlando Magic sideline reporter for Fox Sports Florida, Dante Marcatelli. Dante, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. Is there any chance the early start time, maybe the weather problems getting out of Houston, could that all add up potentially? Could playing basketball at 9 a.m. West Coast time, could that help us tomorrow?
Fingers crossed, man.
I think you did that on purpose, man. I think that's the only chance you guys have to win against us. Good Lord, 9 o'clock.
Well, we tried to do it at 7 Eastern, but they didn't go for it.
So. That would have been something right there. Well, welcome to 95.7 The Game. Appreciate your time, my brother. Let's go ahead and break this down as much as we can. Well, let me ask you that, man. The Warriors coming into Orlando Magic, I mean, obviously you're not looking at it as another game. Pretty much, no matter what anyone's record is, they always take it to the next level and step up their game just a little bit more when the Golden State Warriors come into town, correct?
Well, and you know what? And it's probably something you see with every team. I would imagine certainly 2 years ago when you won the title and probably this year to some extent, you're going to get everybody's best shot. And teams that are struggling, teams that are under 500, this is their banner game. This is their opportunity. Everyone uses that as a measuring stick to see how you rank up to the Golden State Warriors. But we've actually had somewhat success the last couple of years, at least in keeping the game close. We played Golden State pretty well. I was a backbreaker a couple of years ago in Golden State. Steph Curry, down by two, pulls up for a three with 3 seconds left to beat us. And so we've played them. We've had some success in playing some good games. But tomorrow is already a sellout. It's going to be the highest attendance we've had since we opened the building in 2010.
Wow.
So just to give you an idea of how excited they are on this coast and certainly down here in Florida to see the Golden State Warriors. I mean, that show is exactly that. Our first look at Kevin Durant in a Warrior uniform.
Yep,
so
yep.
I think this is everyone's going to rise to the occasion. Wish we weren't banged up. No Evan Fournier, no Jody Meeks. That's some firepower for us. That won't be there, but maybe it helps a little bit coming off one of our best defensive efforts in a couple of weeks.
Let me ask you, this last year's playoffs, the Warriors and the Thunder had an epic 7-game series that ultimately resulted in that Thunder basketball team being broken up. We know Kevin Durant went over to Golden State, but Serge Ibaka was traded to the Orlando Magic. You guys gave up a lot on paper, at least. Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova was having a really good year, a first-round draft pick.
Right.
Tell me about how you see that trade playing out. Has Serge Ibaka been that leader, that guy that you can count on, maybe the best front court player on your team?
He certainly has done it with his play, and he's a vocal guy out there on the court. He's a guy that's out there calling out defensive coverages, and he brings us great rim protection. And for a team that's been so up and down and so inconsistent throughout the year, he's probably been the most consistent player on that team. And he comes in very workmanlike. He gets the job done, and he's our stretch four, something that we have not had in a while. And again, with that rim protection. And, it was tough. It was tough to make that move. Victor Oladipo was so beloved here in Central Florida. But you knew you were re-signing Evan Fournier, and he was going to play that position. And then you had Aaron Gordon. You had Mario Hezonja, who you just drafted. They were going to be battling for time at the three. So, unfortunately, Victor was the odd man out, and they did. They gave up a lot, but to get someone back that filled a need that we desperately had in that front court protection. And he's done that. But the problem is, for us, at least anyway, for the month of December and on into January, we're not getting enough defense out on the perimeter. Our guards aren't keeping their guys in front of them, and that's when the defense breaks down. So guys like Serge and Biz and Vooch have to come out and help, and there's tremendous breakdowns in that back end of that defense. So he's done his job. Hopefully they can. Hopefully last night is a good sign of getting things back on the right track. But yeah, we've been very pleased with the job that Serge Ibaka has done.
Now, how would you, I guess for easier terms, how would you grade halfway through the season so far as the Magic, what they've done and how much more they need to do?
Yeah, well, it's I mean, there's no sugarcoating. It's been a tremendous disappointment to this point. It really has. I mean, everybody talked about playoffs at the beginning of the season, and certainly with guys like Serge, and then you get Bismack Biyombo, who was probably the best defensive player in the whole postseason last year. And then you got young guys that are supposed to take a big leap forward and all that. And in the Eastern Conference, where, you know, somewhere around 500, just under 500 can get you in. It's been very disappointing to be now 9 games under .500, more than halfway through the season. So, but they know that there's nobody that's happy with where they're at right now. They just have to find a way to fix it. There's still 40 plus games to get this thing, or the high 30s to get this thing back on track. But they just got to commit. They've looked lost. They've looked not on the same page. The chemistry hasn't been there. The cohesion. But hopefully they can get that back on track. And just communication for this team is big. There's a lot of quiet guys, and they need to talk it out defensively and help each other through that to get this thing fixed. Frank Vogel is a defensive coach, and going into last night, for his team to be ranked 26th in defense is something that's not sitting well with him either. So, there's everybody's to blame. Everybody's in on this thing together, but they're committed to getting it fixed.
Dante Marcatelli from the Orlando Magic sideline reporter for Fox Sports Florida is good enough to join us. You can follow him on Twitter at Dante Magic. Dante, let me ask you a question. You got a lot of good young players, or at least a lot of young players with some promise. Aaron Gordon's a Bay Area guy. How have you seen his evolution as an NBA player?
That kid is phenomenal, by the way. So thank you, guys. Everyone in the Bay Area, you guys raised him right. That is a good kid. That is a humble kid. For a guy that I can't imagine how cocky I'd be if I put on a performance he did in the slam dunk contest. I don't know. But it hasn't changed him one bit. It has not changed that kid one iota. He still comes to work, still puts in enough work every day. You see the flashes. He's got tremendous athleticism. I think when he doesn't worry about scoring or doesn't try to do too much, doesn't try to show how much he can dribble or how much he can, you know, take guys off the dribble, just plays within the flow of the offense. He's tremendous. He can go get loose balls. He can follow up, get put back dunks. Where he gets hurt is, you know, trying to show too much on the offensive end. Clearly, hands down, our best defender on this team. So he brings that night in and night out. But when he plays at the four and the Magic are able to go small, there's no four in the league that can guard him, really, when he puts the ball on the floor and attacks the basket. He struggles a little bit playing at the three, and that's been the adjustment this year. He's trying to learn that position. And for the most part, every three in this league can dribble and pass and defend just as well as he does. So he's trying to get adjusted to that. But I see tremendous promise. He had a couple of games. High 20s, a career high 33 against the Clippers about a month ago. So he's shown scoring flashes. He's much better at the three-point line than when he first came into the league. And again, he's our best defender. So I think, and again, what, 21 years old?
I mean, wow. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Wow. It's unbelievable how poised he is, how mature he is, how hard he works, how humble he is. I don't have any doubt he's on his way. He'll be a star in this league soon.
You know, Dante, I'm going to go ahead and give you the benefit of the doubt here, and let's just say Orlando does come out with the victory.
Where you're thinking.
Hey, I'm going to use a term for the NFL, any given Sunday, so you never know.
That's
what
right,
it is,
that's right.
And it is on Sunday. So how do you see the Magic beating the Warriors tomorrow if they came out with a victory, knowing what the 37-6, you like the way I threw that in there, the 37-6 Warriors have done so far halfway through the season? What does Orlando need to do to come out with a victory tomorrow?
Well, I think starting with the buses not being able to get them to the game, I think is
the start.
No, I kid. I think the biggest thing is going to be on the defensive end. Transition defense, you can't turn the basketball over against the Golden State Warriors. They're gone in a flash. We actually are not too bad. Top 10 three-point defense, and obviously that's where this team can absolutely kill you. So I think they got to commit to defending the three-point line. We have guys that can defend on the wing. Aaron Gordon has actually guarded Kevin Durant pretty well in his 3 years in the NBA, so that's a big help. Nobody stops those guys, as you all well know, night in and night out. But I think if you can make it tough on Kevin Durant, if you can somehow find a way to frustrate Klay Thompson or Steph Curry and get the ball out of one of those guys' hands, and force other guys to beat you. That's what Frank has proven to do. Go to Washington, let John Wall have 52, but he was going to let him get his, and the other guys were going to have to beat you, and they didn't. So he's shown that he can do that. So somebody will go off tomorrow. Hopefully it's not all three, because then you got no shot. We got to make shots. We got to defend. We got to make it tough on one or two of those big three to keep it close, and then they've got a shot.
Or hopefully they still have a little bit of sleep in their eyes, and then they'll
that
be
could
okay.
be true too. That could be true too.
And all that helps too. All that helps too.
No doubt about it.
Dante, my friend, thank you much for your time, your insight, and your knowledge. Appreciate you. Great stuff, man. And we'll be talking to you soon. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
No problem. Anytime. And give my best to Adonna Foyle. That's one of the best human beings on earth. So you guys take care, okay? Good luck.
Yeah, we'll do that, man.
Thank you, my
brother.
Friend. Have a good show tomorrow, too, as well. Dante Marcatelli, Orlando Magic sideline reporter for Fox Sports Florida. That's where the Warriors are playing mañana, tomorrow morning, bright and early. Warriors coverage starts at 7:30 a.m. I'll repeat that. 7:30 a.m. is when Warriors coverage starts. Yes, a lot of you do get up early. I don't. So I know you do, Brandon.
I'm going to be up early tomorrow. Yeah, I'll be able to catch at least the first maybe 30 minutes of the game.
I should be up by tip-off. Tip-off is at 9, but of course you don't want to miss any of the coverage, you know, Warriors coverage with Damon Bruce and Kerry Keaton already on 957 The Game because, if you miss that, you're going to miss a lot.
It's true.
You're definitely going to miss a lot, and you'll catch it all right here on 957 The Game. And, of course, the wrap-up following the game with Matt Steinmetz as well. So you get the best of both worlds. As the book ends.
And you know what? Sometimes it's cool to wake up in the morning and you got sports right when you turn it on. Tomorrow is a big game. A lot of big games all throughout. If you're a Warriors fan, you get to watch the Warriors. And then you have the two big championship games. Tomorrow's going to be a great weekend in sports overall.
Right. And we are going to get into the NFL next hour as well. And in case you're wondering how come we're somewhat making fun of this early start. Like, hey, games are played early. Well, let me just give you a little history.
All right.
The game tomorrow is scheduled to start at 9 a.m. Warrior coverage is 7:30, like I mentioned.
Yes,
please
sir.
Be here at 957thegame.com. It's the earliest the Warriors game have played since March. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm
1995.
Ready. Wow.
So we're talking 22 years, over 20 years since they played an early game. My guess would be to avoid the NFL playoffs, maybe.
Okay.
But then there's other NBA games going on. Is that respect to the Warriors? Because, I mean, I'm sure that, no disrespect to the Orlando Magic, but I'm sure they're like, ooh, the Orlando Magic, let's give them the early start so they don't, clash with the NFL. That would be my thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely odd for sure for a lot of different reasons, but I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't stop the momentum right now the Golden State Warriors have. They've been on a tear, Vic. Last night, watching that game against the Houston Rockets, a couple things stood out to me. First and foremost, any team, if you're planning on, who's going to make the most shots, the most difficult shots is the Warriors. I think they have the best shot makers in the perimeter than anybody in the NBA. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. Klay Thompson had an off night. They just have so many angles to come at you. Your star player on an opposing team has to have a great night. And that's what happened when they came to Oakland. But last night, James Harden wasn't having a great night. If your star player is not having a great night and you essentially have one star player, I don't think you're going to be able to compete. That's why I don't personally buy in to the Rockets as a real contender because I still think they have one guy.
Vic,
that's it. And if Harden goes off, then they have a shot to be in the mix, but it takes a double overtime game to win. But teams like, the Rockets, I think, are one of those kind of teams who just only has one player. They don't have enough to me to compete. Now, it's a different story when you get to the Spurs, which we'll see in a while, and the Clippers, at least in the West, who have multiple guys that can come at you. But I still don't take the Rockets serious as a contender. It is good to see what they're doing in terms of they've turned it around since last year. But, James Harden has to do so much. And that's the thing with Russell Westbrook. They have the same kind of structure where that one guy has to produce so much on a night-in, night-off basis. That was a heck of a game for a lot of reasons against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the most important one is seeing the efficiency. It seems like Kevin Durant said, you know what? I'm not going to let my emotions get the best of me. I'm going to have the most efficient game I've had in a Golden State Warriors uniform. He systematically dismantled those guys.
He got a double-double, 40 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists, 121-100. They beat him by 100. Also gave Green a double-double with 12 points and 11 rebounds as well. So, I mean, it's a nice little balance round, you know, against Oklahoma. And I think last time they played him, they didn't get like 32 or 36 as well, too.
He had a great game, too.
He had a great game. Yeah. I mean, he's averaging 20-plus. But when you get, you know, into the upper 30s and 40s, you know you have a little sum in the back of you saying, I got to get these fools.
And you saw the animosity. I don't know if folks got
Of course, bro.
But after the game, one of the Oklahoma City Thunder players went to go say what's up to Kevin Durant, and they caught it on a cell phone, and Russell Westbrook yells out, don't give that explicit of a handshake, blank him. So this is not just a competitive on the court. They're up. Russell Westbrook, he's taking a lot of L's because of Kevin Durant now. And he's upset. I'm so curious. I know we're going to talk about this later. I'm so curious to see how they interact with each other All-Star weekend. They're on the same team, Vic. You can't. They're on the same team.
Well, he hasn't been picked yet. Let me ask you this. Let's go with that then real quick. It's coming down at the bottom of the hour. We have Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World. So we'll be talking to him at the bottom. So we'll get more. But only because you mentioned that. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about that. Only because he got smacked around by my boy Zaza Pachulia. And not only that, he just bounced into a big old man. He got slapped in the face. Now, I don't condone that stuff, but you can see it.
Why are you smiling there, Vic? Why are you cheating over there?
Because of the way he stood over him after him, like this Greek god, like, yeah, I did that. You know, but anyway, that's besides the point. I don't condone violence, but you know, that wasn't hard.
Well, listen, I don't condone the slap, but the standing over, I think it's about time. It's about darn time, Vic, that the Warriors start to prove we're tougher than you think.
Yeah.
I wasn't upset with that. I enjoyed it.
No. Yeah, the slapping, okay, you could have done it. I think that was more of he was just trying to push my
mind. Yeah, I don't want to say anybody.
I'm not going to back him up. I'm not going to back him up because it happened. But anyway, let's get to the All-Star game real quick.
Please.
Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, their name All-Star game starters. All right, so they're in, they're doing the thing. Let's go to the Western Conference. Okay, so you got Steph Curry as a guard and James Harden as a guard. Your front court is Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis. All well-deserved.
No doubt.
But the whole media and social media, they're all up in an uproar that, let's go ahead and stick with the West for right now, that my man Russell Westbrook was snubbed. He's averaging a triple-double. We're talking about he's the league leader in scoring with 30.6, second in assists with 10.4, 11th in rebounds with 10.6. He's got 21 triple-doubles this season already, and I believe, might have to go back, but I believe it's the All-Star starters combined have something like 19.
Okay. I get it. I mean,
why is he not starting?
He's having a great year. Vic, two things. First and foremost, the All-Star game is about what? It's about entertaining the fans more so than anything else. The biggest product in the NBA by far and away is the Golden State Warriors. Why wouldn't you want to have the two best players from the best team in basketball starting in the All-Star game? I get that. Listen, I'm enamored by the numbers like anybody else. But Russell Westbrook, to me, it's not always fun watching the guy. He goes 100 miles an hour. I think oftentimes, you know, the other night he 19 times as a point guard, he didn't pass once he crossed half court. 19 times as a point guard, he neglected to pass the ball once he crossed half court.
Got a point.
That's not basketball. Yeah. And I get that he's, you know, his numbers are, you know, crazy and immaculate. But to me, it's still not as entertaining as it is when I watch a great team. To me, Steph Curry is the best overall point guard in the league right now still. I think you got to put in James Harden in there right now. But the point guard right now is the best position in the NBA. Point guard and small forward, the best position in the NBA. So it was a win-win and a lose-lose. If Westbrook would have started over him, I wouldn't have been complaining.
Yeah, but then if Westbrook would have started, I'm almost positive Curry wouldn't have been there. Would have been James Harden.
Yeah, for sure.
And then social media would have went crazy that Curry got snubbed.
That's how it is, Vic. Yeah, every year we have snubs. But I think the bigger snub, I'll reiterate, was Kyle Lowry.
And I think Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, Isaiah.
I think Isaiah Thomas is a little bit more. I mean, he's averaging 28.7 points.
True.
He's fourth in the league behind Westbrook, James Harden, and Anthony Davis. He averages out, six assists per game and shooting 46% on the floor, 38.5% beyond the arc, and 91% from the free throw line.
Career.
What more do you want than 100%?
I wouldn't have been mad as Isaiah Thomas, but I think
he got snubbed too.
I don't think it should have been Kyrie Irving. I don't think that. I think that Kyle Lowry or Isaiah Thomas should have been ahead of Kyrie Irving. And to me, that's a bigger snub. It's a bigger fall off from Lowry to Kyrie than it is from Curry to Westbrook. I think either one of those could have been starters, but to me, Kyrie doesn't deserve to be an Eastern Conference starter. But who am I to say? That's the thing about All-Star games is that it's almost good for the debate. You see snubs every year, and it's what we talk about.
And before I go back to the West, let me just give you the Eastern Conference starters here. Your guard, Kyrie Irving. Guard, DeMar DeRozan. Front courts is LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and also Jimmy Butler.
He's coming, folks.
Oh, he's a beast.
He's coming.
Him, Towns. Anthony Davis, those type of players is going to be the future of the NBA. I heard them talking about it also, and I had thought about this earlier in the week, but I heard them talking about it inside the NBA this week with JD and Matt Stamets, and I'm like, you know what? I agree 100%.
Yeah, Joel Embiid, too. You got to put him in there. He should be an all-star this year.
From Philadelphia?
Yes.
They're actually beasting out. But my snub is Isaiah Thomas on the East and Russell Westbrook in as far as the West side it goes. So let me go back to something you just said real quick. You said you're tired of seeing Russell Westbrook go at 100 miles an hour.
I didn't say I was tired. I said sometimes
you didn't like, or
aesthetically pleasing, it's not as fun to watch than when you watch a team.
So is he running, if I may just use that
little part,
he running at 100 miles an hour because that's who Russell Westbrook really is? Or is it because the lack of Kevin Durant and he's trying to show off?
No, that's a great question. I think that's who Russell Westbrook is. And that's why I don't think Russell Westbrook is going to win a championship the way he plays right now. What superstar, Vic, is going to want to play with Russell Westbrook? There's not a guy out there that's going to want to say, oh, I'll sign up to go to play with Russell Westbrook. He doesn't even know if he's going to get, you know, Russ is going to pass the ball, you know, 20 times a game once he crosses half court. So that's the problem. Russell Westbrook is a dynamic player. He's probably the greatest athlete to ever play the point guard position. I don't think that translates into him being the best point guard in the league right now. I take Curry and I take Harden over him. And I probably would take Chris Paul over Russell Westbrook in terms of if I want to run a basketball team. Russell Westbrook is fun to watch when he's dunking and, you know, and when he's, you know, pulling up from three. But half the time he's missing them. Vic, he's shooting, I think, 36% from beyond the arc right now.
Yeah. You know, you had mentioned earlier also that, you know, the NBA All-Star game is all about the fans.
It is.
So the fans can have something to cheer on.
It is,
it's a big spectacle. I agree. And, but this is why I think Russell Westbrook would have been in better position. Now, don't beat me up, Dubs, because, yes, I love Curry that he's there. This is why I believe Westbrook should have started over Curry, because can you imagine the drama buildup? That Westbrook and Durant are starters.
You're right, Vic.
Is that ball going to be passed to my man KD?
Heck no.
Or vice versa?
He's not even going to talk to him.
Will you see a layup between Russ? That drama bigger than the NBA.
I guarantee you Russell Westbrook is not going to pass a ball.
The drama started July 4th last year, and it continues this year in the All-Star game.
Who was the All-Star MVP last year?
Why am I drawing about Westbrook?
Russell Westbrook.
I was like Westbrook, right? Yeah, Westbrook.
So Westbrook is the type of guy, All-Star team.
Off the bench for that matter,
too. Westbrook is the type of guy that the All-Star game to him is another platform for him to shine.
Right.
And that's why he's a hard player to play with, Vic.
But the drama.
It would have been great. And now there's still going to be drama, Vic. They still got to be in the same huddle.
Yeah, true.
They still got to be in the same huddle, Vic. They're still playing for the same team. They're going to have the same uniform on. But I'm curious. All our folks on the text line, what do you think about Russell Westbrook game? Do you like watching Russell Westbrook really essentially play 1-on-5, or would you rather watch a team game? We got a couple of guys on the text line saying, Russell Westbrook is a selfish jerk that most fans except OKC don't like from a 6'5". I don't agree with that. I think he's passionate. I don't know the guy. I don't know if I want to call him a jerk. I think he is passionate. Another person said, okay, that's another one. But the All-Star games are for fans, and they want to see Curry over Westbrook. Curry is much more popular. I do think that globally Curry has a bigger brand than Russell Westbrook, but we can't deny the historic numbers that Westbrook is putting up. I just am not a fan. Aesthetically speaking, I'm not a fan of that kind of basketball. I'd rather see a team game.
All right, the NBA All-Star Game, February 19th, New Orleans. It all goes down, and of course you'll be able to catch a lot of the details between now and then as we continue to move forward with the Dubs Talk. Up next, our very good friend Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World, so we'll talk a lot of Dubs with him. We'll break down tomorrow's game a little bit as well and talk some more, All-Star. Why not? We'll kind of mention that in there as well and a whole lot more, so you definitely don't want to miss out. He is coming up next with Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza, on 95.7 The Game. game. Dub Nation, don't miss Warriors Wednesdays on 957 The Game, featuring Warriors President of Basketball Operations and General Manager Bob Myers at 1:30 p.m. Brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a 2016 Premier Porsche dealer, and Premier Kia of Newark, the go-to dealer for the greater Newark area.
Now, back to Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
Light the way you work it. Ready on 95.7 The Game. Brandon Santiago.
That was a hit.
Big time. When I was working for our other sister station, we've had them at shows many, many times.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, not only to see them perform, but to be able to bring them on stage, but then to hang out with them backstage and just talk to them as regular human beings. There's some intelligent individuals.
Love it.
And musicians and, you know, songwriters, they're in a whole different world.
Man, I can only imagine.
You know, they're in a whole different world. But if you can just stay in that world for a second, you learn some stuff that you're just like, wow, I didn't ever looked at it that way. Because, you know, they travel a lot.
Right, so they see a lot. Right.
And when you look at it in different perspective, you're just like, I did not think of it that way.
No doubt.
No diggity.
No, I like to back it up.
Ba-dum. So there you go. Sorry about that. Big Ben didn't mean to use all that like that. But anyway, that's my man, Brandon Santiago. Victor Zaragoza. Our man, Lucas, is on the phones today. If you want to jump in and talk about Dubs, by all means, 888-957-9570 on the PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. Our very good friend, Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Twitter at Andy, K-H-Liu, L-I-U. Andy, good afternoon. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing all right. You guys sound like you're having fun on here.
That's all we do
we can't help it. We don't know what we're talking about, so we got to have some fun.
And Andy, you know that, man. Sports should be fun, period, man.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Even playing basketball when you're young all the way to if you're coaching, you're old, it's end of the day, if you're not getting paid for it, just have fun, man.
There it is, right there. Let me tell you, I'm not getting paid much, so my only alternative is have some fun.
But you're getting paid. That's all that matters.
That's true.
Andy, this week right here, I guess we can say was a great week for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, just to kind of go back to Monday, we were kind of looking for the rematch right there at Oracle against the Cavs. Beat them by 35. OKC with Westbrook going down. Thanks to Zaza by 21 points on Wednesday, and then of course Harden and the Rockets in Houston in their home court, 125-108. How do you sum up this week for the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, I think pretty much. Well, they still have a game tomorrow, though. That's going to be rough considering it's a 9 a.m. start on the West Coast. But I think to summarize this week, it's just nobody is on the Warriors level when they try or when they play well. Not even the defending champions. The Warriors, when they lose, it's usually a confluence of factors of where the other team is playing really, really well, and the Warriors are not playing well, but not because of the opponents, but because of themselves. Like, they tend to turn the ball over, or maybe they're not focused, things like that. So when the Warriors play well, they tend to win and win by a lot. And this week, I think they saw the schedule, came in and said, hey, we're going to make a statement, and tried to make a statement, and that's what happened against three teams that – you know, some people have been saying they lost to Memphis, they lost to Houston, they lost to Cleveland. You know, they lost to the Spurs as well. So, you know, their losses have been against the cream of the crop in the NBA. So this was a good week for them to kind of tell people that, hey, we're still the best team where we actually care.
Yeah, Andy, I got to say, last year felt a lot like an NBA opera. There was so much drama in the Warriors. Every single game was that pursuit of 73. Every single game was the Warriors kind of getting back for the league of saying that the reason why they won was because of injuries to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. This year hasn't been as interesting, although there are some little tidbits here and there that you can dig into. I think one of the most interesting things of the Warriors season thus far has been these huge third quarters. Everyone kind of looks forward to it. I know, you know, me and my pops will get on the line, and we're expecting the Warriors to come out and blow a team out in the third quarter. Last night, they did the same thing, you know, outscored the Rockets by 15 points. They're averaging 30 points overall in the fourth quarter. I'm a little apprehensive for the Warriors to rely on that, but do you think it's a testament to the coaching staff adjustments? Do you think it takes a half for these Warriors to really kind of warm up and get into the game? They kind of seem disinterested sometimes in the first quarter. What do you think it is about these big third quarters?
Yeah, I think it's more so the latter part of that. I don't think they're necessarily doing anything too different or too crazy. Kerr's offensive system and Rod Adams' defensive schemes. They're all pretty much entrenched now at this point in the third season. So nothing too crazy on that end that they do. The variations are all, or what they do out of the offense is all based on feel and what the players want as well. But I think it's more of this team knows that, hey, we don't actually have to try for 48 minutes. If we keep the game close and, you know, screw around and, you know, don't really have to play defense, they usually do that for an entire half. But maybe they're up by 5 points or they're down by 5 points or it's a tie game. All they have to do is go on a 5-minute run and they're up by 20 and they'll win. And so I think a lot of the times that they'll just, you know, like you said, play disinterested, not focused, you know, not really care about what's going on. And then the third quarter rolls around, they're like, okay, you know what? It's time that we actually make put our stamp in this game. And all of a sudden they turn up the defense, and then they start making shots. All the shots are usually open anyway. So, you know, the moment that they actually start making stops, namely Draymond Green starts to actually play defense, then it's over. And they only need about 5 minutes for that to happen. So, and last year, Steph had some great third quarters as well. He was actually known for, you know, exploding in the third quarter. And like you said, they are a little bit different in that. They're kind of boring, I guess, so to say, this season. I think it's just because that they're so good that you just, there's just nothing that they need to do. You know, last year, they needed Steph to be great, really, to win
a lot
of their games.
It's a great point.
And this year, they don't have to be great. Like, Steph can just play for 10 minutes, really good for 10 minutes. KD will take care of the rest. Or Dre and Clay will take, like, it's, they don't really do much, and they'll still win a game. It's kind of ridiculous, but like you said, it could be boring, and we're all just really sitting here waiting until April, May, and June.
I think we're spoiled.
I think we're spoiled. Such a crazy to think about. 10, 15 years ago, man, we would be begging for a game in which the Warriors would be up by 5.5. And now when they're up by 5.5, we're concerned. We're talking about it, Andy.
Speaking of concern or their lack of, Andy, I'll let you speak on this. David West goes down with a fracture in his left thumb. When he's in, he's averaging 4 points, 2.7 rebounds, and 2.1 assists. Okay for coming off the bench for who David West is. Is this of any concern of Steve Kerr, or does this give him some time, or should I say some leeway to kind of experiment off the bench?
Yeah, I think this is concerning in that David West has been awesome this season. Probably their best big man off the bench, and at times has really been better than Zaza as well. I think he's the second best guy. He should be coming right off instead of JaVale. He's been great on offense. Passing has been awesome. I think he's good at passing because, unlike Bogut, he can actually score. So the fact that he's a threat on the floor makes, you know, even more, you know, makes it possible that there are more passing lanes. Whereas Bogut was just there and he was forcing passes into those lanes where people were cheating off of him. So West makes life a lot easier on that end. I think what this does and what it allows the Warriors to do, and what I think they should do, is play the small lineup more, because it hasn't been actually good this season. Last year, it was astronomical. They called it a death lineup. That was how good it was. This year, it's been more like, it's been more mediocre, you know, and you're talking about replacing Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant, and we're talking about a downgrade in terms of statistics, and they just haven't looked comfortable together in those small lineups, and they're not really playing so much as well. They used to play, it was always the last 5 minutes of the half and then the 5 minutes of the game. In the last couple weeks, they really haven't played the last 5 minutes of the half, and the games have been blowouts, so I haven't even really played together at all. So I think instead of, you know, forcing minutes to McAdoo and Barajal and JaVale, you know, like those minutes, you know, in the grand scheme of things don't matter, right? It doesn't help these players actually get better. So I would assume, or I would hope, that Kerr would go small more. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, though, because it's just not how he operates. But they do need to get some reps together. You know, you can't just throw something on the floor, no matter how great these guys are, and expect it to automatically become awesome. So I think that's something they should experiment with. But, you know, again, it's kind of nitpicking, you know. We're talking about a small lineup with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green in the front court with Clay, Iguodala, and Steph, you know. So it's going to be great regardless. I just want to see it on the floor more as well.
We're talking to Andy Liu. He covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Andy K. Liu. Andy, a couple quick questions before we let you go. First and foremost, I guess the trade line is looming, and there are fans who are clamoring for the Warriors to
make a
move.
February 23rd, by the way.
February 23rd. Mm-hmm. Fans who are clamoring for the Warriors to make a move. I don't think that they should. I don't think they need to. But if they do, do you think it's possible they would bring in a big man, maybe another shooting guard to back up, take some of those backup minutes? Where do you think the Warriors will make a move, and what will it be?
I don't think so. If it is, it would be something, you know, along the lines of, it's not going to be a trade because I don't think they can get anyone. They can't have money on the salary cap for next year as well. They need to be able to pay KD and Curry, who are likely going to re-sign, or maybe.
You never know.
But they need to clear out that cap space. So it won't be anybody like, you know, you think of a Tyson Chandler who might be a buyout candidate, but he's got money on the books, you know, for the next couple of seasons, or at least next season. So we can't do that. But if anything, I think it'll be a guard. If it is a buyout candidate, someone along the lines of maybe Mario Chalmers or Jose Calderon. Something like that. Not necessarily going to be someone that's going to get, you know, maybe not in the playoffs. Maybe they're going to play a couple minutes. But in the regular season, that can soak up some minutes on that side, because Ian Clark's been awesome, but he's struggled lately. You know, McCall's not ready. So, you know, there's minutes there. And garbage time, they're always playing Sean Livingston in garbage time. And then they're playing like three centers as well. So, you know, McAdoo and Varejao are just an essential waste of a roster spot at this point. So, you know, if they want to get rid of one of them, and they'll probably look at one of those veteran guards. Nothing too exciting, but their roster imbalance is pretty, it's not pretty on the back end. But again, we're nitpicking. I think that's all anybody can do with the Warriors at this point in terms of criticism.
Anything from Damian Jones real quick, the rookie? I'm waiting to hear from this kid. I know that we had some high hopes for him. Should I just back off and we'll wait till next season?
Yeah, I think he might have to wait a season or two in this case. Yeah, the injury setback has been bad. And the thing with rookies is that they need a training camp, because he really has no idea when he's on the floor and what he's doing in the NBA. So he'll be in the D League likely for the rest of the year, and I think he will be for next year as well. He's going to spend a lot of time there because he's really not ready just in terms mentally, physically at this point. But he's got that type of explosiveness that is kind of scary, you know? It's like kind of...
Yeah, he looks good.
And he's got good hands as well. So there are some things that... And when you're playing with the Warriors for the next couple of seasons, they're not asking him to do much. If he can defend, if he's smart enough to defend, and he's able to leap and jump like JaVale, then that's really all you need. Because the problem with JaVale right now is he can't defend. He has no idea what's going on the court, on the defensive end. So if Damian Jones is able to adapt there, and he has quick feet, dude, he's going to be he has that potential to be Festus-like, that he can jump out on guards and forwards on screens. So he has that potential to be a defensive anchor. But again, he's a season or two away. I think McCall is going to be somebody that they'll rely on more next year as well, because one of Livingston and Iguodala are likely to be gone.
There you go. Andy, always appreciate you having on, man. More than anything, your knowledge, your insight. And thank you for coming on, and have a great weekend and enjoy the game early tomorrow morning if you wake up that early.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, keep having fun on here.
Huh? I will do, man. Thank you, man. That's Andy Liu, covers the Warriors for Warriors World. You can follow him at Twitter at Andy K.H. Liu. That's L-I-U. Great cat right there. And it's funny, Brandon, how you mentioned the trade deadline coming up on February 23rd, because
yes,
I read an article that asked all these questions that the Warriors should be kind of concerned about, or their lack of. So I'm going to break it down out of the seven. I'm going to ask you five of them, and you tell me if they should be concerned, something they should look into, or something they should address with the trade.
There you go.
All right, so we'll do that next right here with Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game. Warriors play-by-play voice Tim Roy talks Dubs with Damon Bruce every Monday, brought to you by Porsche Fremont. Opportunity awaits at Porsche of Fremont, and only on your new home of the Warriors, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Brandon Santiago and Victor Zaragoza on 95.7 The Game.
And welcome back to 95.7 The Game on a Saturday afternoon. Appreciate you listening. Brandon Santiago, Victor Zaragoza. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we'll be glad to show you the love right back. Mine is Big Daddy Z Sports.
It's B Santiago.
It's just like that, too.
Yeah, yep, ITS, B Santiago.
There you go right
nice.
There. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to go NFL. We're talking Raiders. We're talking Niners, because do they finally have a head coach?
And I hope.
Niner Empire, are you happy with the name they're throwing around? You never know. Other NFL news going around also, that maybe Peyton Manning might be GM somewhere.
Uh-oh.
Oh, all kinds of. And then they have a couple of football games tomorrow, too, that we're going to throw in there as side dishes.
Not very important, but you know.
Not very important, but the winner goes on to the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
So there you go.
Right, right.
So we'll go all NFL next hour, and then right before we pass it on over to our good friends Zachariah and Guru, right? They're on next, so got to show them a whole lot of love. Love those cats.
Yeah, me
death,
too.
Man. Love
those
cats.
My dudes, man.
So anyway, this is a short segment, so let's go ahead and finish up with Dubs Talk. And by the way, in case you didn't know, I'm going to let you know right now, next game with the Dubs tomorrow morning against the Magic. Warriors coverage starts at 7:30 a.m. Yes, 7:30 in the morning. Damon Bruce, Kerry Keaton, and the Warriors wrap up with Matt Stamets following the game. You get great bookends already on 957 The Game. And, of course, you get the game in between as well. So you definitely do not want to miss out on that. Anyway, I want to thank our good friend Andy Liu, who came on with us just a little bit ago. And we talked a lot about the Warriors.
Yep.
You mentioned the trade deadline.
Yes.
So I kind of want to bring this up. I was reading an article, and there was a lot of questions on it. I think there was like 7 or 8, but I'm going to break it down with only 5 and kind of alter it a little bit.
Okay.
It's on Bleacher Report if you want to see it. So with the trade deadline coming up on February 23rd, and while the Warriors may not and probably shouldn't make any moves, they can still view the deadline as self-evaluation.
I hope they do.
All right.
Victor.
So with all that being said, I'm going to throw in a couple of things. I got a couple of questions.
Okay,
just a couple of questions.
Like
you can take it as you want and figure it out as you want, but then give me your straight answer.
No doubt about it, brother.
Are we cool with Anderson Varejão?
I don't even care. Andy Varejão, this dude.
Is he trade bait? Is he something we can – something? Is he someone we can move to get someone for? But anyway, are we cool with Anderson Varejão?
Think of Anderson Varejão as like a Christmas tree. He's just a decoration. That's it. He's just a decoration out there. That's all it is, man. And there's no functional use to Anderson Varejão.
Okay.
He's out there. He's big. In a pinch, he can give you 6 fouls. But the brother's just out there to fill up a seat. You know what I mean? I like Andy. I think he's been a good guy. I think he probably adds to that, you know, locker room chemistry. But in terms of his play, yeah.
So we cool with Zaza. We cool with Wes. We cool with McGee.
I think we have to be.
Okay.
I think we got to be, Vic. There's one guy I threw out earlier in the year.
And Damian Jones. I can't forget Damian Jones. But he's our future. So
right. You know, if the Warriors wanted to take a Hail Mary pass, it would be Al Saunders. You know, the kid at a couple years ago for the Milwaukee Bucks who played really well. But unfortunately had some issues in terms of, you know, his thought process, and he had to take a step back from the NBA, which I think was a good thing for him. But if the Warriors had to throw out a Hail Mary, which I doubt they will, that's the only guy I can see them picking up. He would be for dirt cheap, and he's a guy who we know can defend.
Number 2, is Andre Iguodala the same guy we have for the championship run and that got us helped us to get to the finals last year?
Okay.
Is Andre the same guy that we can keep? Or do we move?
Now, Vic, now you're trying to – I thought you were throwing me softballs over here. Andre's not, Victor. He's not. He's just not the same guy. I don't think he has the same lateral quickness, and that's okay. He's getting older. I think one thing Andre Iguodala still does is he still is able to run the offense when Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry are on. Essentially, those guys are able to be weapons on the wings because Andre Iguodala is such a great distributor of the basketball. But defensively, he's just not the same player.
Number 3, is Ian Clark ready?
It depends on what you're asking. If you're asking, is Ian Clark ready to be a scorer off the bench in a regular season? Absolutely. Now, can Ian Clark produce in the playoffs? I don't know. It's still yet to be seen. Buckets don't come easy for Ian, apart from when he gets open threes, and he's a good cutter. But I don't know if he's going to be that scorer off the bench in the postseason.
All right, and real quick, will the turnovers ever stop, or do we need someone to help out?
Yeah, I'm going to slap somebody. Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do it. They got to figure something out. I want to put a little collar, buzz them every time they make a stupid pass. Vic, yeah, your guess is as good as mine with that.
Okay, cool. And then number 5, which I know this is something I shouldn't even be asking, but I'm going to ask anyway. Did the win over Cleveland Cavaliers answer the Curry question? That Curry question is, just put the ball in Curry's hands and everything will be fine. He got more aggressive against the Cavs,
maybe
because it was the Cavs.
Because
I know a lot of people are like, I don't know, it's not the same Curry.
It's true.
So did that win help out to say that we're okay?
I think the win was a part of the component that made Stephen Curry more aggressive. I don't know if I look to the Cleveland as the sole reason why, but Steph knows this is still his basketball team. He has to be aggressive in order for the Warriors offense to be successful. So yes and no.
All right. So trade
good questions, brother. Good questions, brother.
Thank you. Trade deadline coming up February 23rd. So keep an eye on that. And of course, you can always get all the info if and anything does happen, or if anyone that does get moved. Catch it all right here on 957 The Game. We're going NFL next. Raiders, Niners, and all around the NFL. We got you covered right here. You can jump online with us, 888-957-957 on the PenskeAutoSales.com. Text line 95795. And don't forget, Warriors coverage starts at 7:30 tomorrow morning right here on 957 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.